Praise God. Let's open our Bibles here tonight to the book of Titus. There in the New Testament. A very familiar portion of Scripture. It does amaze me as you read Scripture how that it just continually speaks to our lives. Just, it never fails. It doesn't for me anyway. As I was reading this Scripture, I've read these Scriptures, I don't know how many times, multitudes of times. And yet then when you read it again, it just, how much it speaks to our lives about what God wants to accomplish in us. How many realize that God is for us? But what does that mean? God is for us. Does that mean he's for us no matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we want? God is for us. That means he wants to transform us. Hallelujah. He doesn't want to leave us in any type of condition that would be harmful to our spiritual well-being. Amen. It's just, praise God, that is the desire of the Heavenly Father. Praise God. And I was just, this is not in my notes here, but this is just something I was pondering. How many remember what the Bible says as your soul prospers. In other words, the prospering of the soul is what's going to bring prosperity into my life. And that was that, as your soul prospers is the whole endeavor of God's Word. Doesn't mean as I feel good. It means as I conform. As I conform, then God can bless me. Praise God. All right, let's go on with these scriptures. Enough rabbit trails here tonight. Praise God. We'll go on. Titus chapter number 2, going to begin reading at verse number 1. As I've already mentioned, this very familiar portion of Scripture. But I want to read the whole chapter here of chapter number 2. And so we'll probably be standing for about a minute or so, maybe two at the most. But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. Now here's some examples of sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober. That means you think straight, think right, think holy. Grave, that's honesty. Temperate, that means self-control. Sound in faith, in charity. Impatient. I want you to notice this is not talking about the pastor, the preacher, or minister. It is talking about God's people. Christians. Believers. A lot of times people want to turn around, it's the pastor it's supposed to be that way. It's the preacher it's supposed to be that way. No, it's God's people that's supposed to be that. The aged man, that's not talking about old people. It's talking about wise. Wise men. Men that know what's right and continue to live what's right. Amen. The aged women likewise, that their behavior becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Whoa. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Did you notice that every one of them, the very first thing that he started out with was sober-minded? Thinking the right way. Sober-minded. Thinking God's way. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself. Now he brings it right into Titus's realm. In all things, showing thyself, a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity. Once again, that's honesty. Sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is contrary on the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again, or what we would call back-talking, not purloining, that's embezzlement, you know, taking things that don't belong to you, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And notice, adorn the doctrine of God. In other words, represent it, show it. Put it on. Praise God. Amen. And here's where grace becomes the emphasis. Verse number 11. This is the most familiar portion of this scripture. All that other stuff I just read to you, most folks forget all about that. But it's actually part of grace. Hallelujah. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. There's soberly again. Righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You may be seated again this evening. Amen. Purify unto himself a peculiar people. That word peculiar is a peculiar word. It means beyond usual. Beyond the norm. It means special. A special people. And the reason that we're special is because we are adorning the doctrine of God. Because we are living these things that grace brings to us. Hallelujah. And that's why we become a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In other words, we have that desire. The Bible declares, and Jesus Christ preached it, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. So the reality here is God's for us. We've already kind of established that. God is for us, but the way that he's for us is our spiritual well-being, our spiritual health. Hallelujah. Now, we don't want to get off meddling in health, do we? Because most of us, aren't really concerned about eating healthy. We don't think about eating healthy. We just think about eating those things that we like to eat, you know. Well, hang on with me. Just as sure sometimes as we're slack in our eating habits, sometimes we're slack in our spiritual habits also. It's just part of being humanity. Just being human. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that as an excuse. I'm saying that is the reason why sometimes. But remember, he wants to bring us to become a peculiar people, which is beyond usual, which is special, which means it's not going to be just normal. Hallelujah. It's going to be above normal. It's going to be spiritual. It's going to be everything God wants us to be. Now, I've read all this and I've said all this because I want to bring out some realities of grace, how it comes to us. And I've just titled this tonight, The Uns of Grace. And you'll understand the title. Well, Brother Lucas done a good job. He's not even here and he's done a good job. The unsurpassable message, the unfathomable peace, the unspeakable joy, the unsearchable riches, the unknowable love. I'm glad he did that. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the uns of grace. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I got some things I want to share. In John chapter number 7, verse number 45 and verse number 46, it says, then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. course, their reference and who they're talking about is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And these men were sent to capture him, bring him back to the Pharisees. And you find that in verse number 32 of chapter 7 in the book of John. The officers were sent by the Pharisees. They wanted the officers to bring him back. They wanted to accuse him. They wanted to just do all kinds of things. They really wanted to kill him. But then Jesus began to speak and Jesus began to preach. And in verse number 37 of John chapter 7 is when he began to talk about the Holy Ghost. And out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. I mean, he began to share the truths and the spiritual truths of the kingdom of God, and that anointing that Jesus had of the Holy Ghost began to penetrate even these officers' hearts, even though they were sent there to capture him and actually, you know, forcefully bring him to the Pharisees. They could not resist the unsurpassable message. They just couldn't get around it. They couldn't get away from it. They couldn't do what they came there to do. But they were mesmerized, if you will. They were under conviction, if you will. That is what grace does. That is what grace brings to your life and my life. That is that old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction that comes down and starts showing me where I'm doing wrong. Hallelujah. And it is an unsurpassable message. In other words, we can't get away from it. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we may want to, no matter how much we try to distract ourselves or preoccupy ourselves, if you're really going to get a breakthrough from God, you're going to have to pay attention to the message of grace is bringing to you. You can change 1,000 different areas of your life, do 1,000 different things for God, but you are never going to be in that right relationship with God until you deal with the unsurpassable message. I'm talking from experience. I've been there, done that. And you just will not go on, and you are hindering the work of God in your life when you will not deal with that message that he keeps bringing back. Woo, praise God. It's an unsurpassable message, just like these officers ran into. And thus they could not fulfill their task nor their orders because the Spirit of God was arresting them. And they were mesmerized. No man spake ever like this. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many times have you said, man, that was good preaching? And then you can't remember what was preached the next day. Makes me wonder how good it really was. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's why if anybody ever tells me that was good preaching, I just smile and say thank you, because I know they ain't going to remember it tomorrow. Praise the Lord. But it was good tonight. Praise God. Now, sometimes you remember, but sometimes we forget on purpose. Did you hear that one? Sometimes we forget on purpose because we don't want to think about what God spoke to us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, the unfathomable peace, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. See, it's unfathomable. That's a hard word for me to say. Because it passeth all understanding. We can't get a full grip or a full understanding on the peace of God. Because the peace of God is when the Spirit of God comes, which is another phase of grace. And he just brings a peace upon us that we don't know why we have it. He just does it. We can't understand it, but it's there. And it's coupled with grace, and it produces faith. Praise God. But you see, this is part of that grace of God that hath appeared to all men, teaching us. In other words, it's always doing something for us to benefit us spiritually in the kingdom of God and our walk with God. That's what grace is all about. Hallelujah. It's not, it never overlooks sin. It always deals with it, talks about it, draws it out so it can be taken care of. Ooh, praise God. You ever had a splinter get in your finger and you thought you got it out, but then as the days go by, it starts festering and getting red and yucky stuff kind of oozing out of it sometimes, and then it hurts again, and you gotta get it out. And about the only way I've ever found to get it out is I just used to get a straight pin, clean it off real good with alcohol, and we go to digging. Or I go to digging, not we. I mean, it's just Frederick. Jason wouldn't help me do that. Lindsay probably not either. I mean, you just dig it out because you know that it's never going to get better until it's out of there. Now, some folks would go to the doctor. Some folks would go to their wife, you know, go to somebody who's better at it than they are. But I just kind of trust myself and stuff like that. I'm just kind of, I tried to get some stuff out of my eye one time. Same way. Yeah, it didn't work that time. Then I went to the doctor on that one, and they used a little drill and a drill bit. And I thought, okay, now I know how to do it. Woo! Not. Yeah, Brother Rick's the guy that pulls his own teeth, so he's on the same page. You got to get it out. If it's a hindrance to you, you got to get it out. You got to get rid of it. You got to call it what it is. Amen. And so we see then, here we find in Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. So we're talking about the peace of God, that unfathomable peace. And here is Paul and Silas become recipients of that. There's no other way they could have begun to do what they were doing outside of the grace of God coming on the scene, the power of the Holy Ghost bringing a peace to their souls, and they began to rejoice about what had transpired instead of whining and crying and murmuring and everything else humanity in them would have done. But now peace has swept over them. Faith has swept over them. The Holy Ghost has swept over them. This is grace coming on the scene. That unmerited favor. That favor of God. When you're in the midst of that situation. And you don't realize and understand why. You're not worried about it. It's just going to be all right. That's that unfathomable peace. That grace of God coming on the scene. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1 and 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Wow. I've always really looked at these scriptures when Peter is talking about, you know, rejoicing, greatly rejoicing, even though I'm in the midst of the heaviness of temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with a fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I don't know whether you've looked at this way or not, but he starts out talking about the manifold temptations and the trying of your faith, and then he gives a little exhortation that, you know, this trying of your faith, why, it's more precious than having millions and millions of dollars of gold. You ever thought of your trial like that? That it's better for you than millions and millions of dollars of gold? Most of us don't think of a trial like that, you know, because we're not laying a hold of that joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're not laying a hold of the grace of God for the situation that's going on. And see, it's the grace of God once again. And you'll find that every one of these is the grace of God coming on the scene. The grace of God teaching or talking to us and touching us and to the reality here, that love of Jesus Christ. And though we may be going through a trial, that we are rejoicing because we know God is for us. He's not against us. And because of this joy and this faith, hallelujah, it is going to bring deliverance in the situation. That's what he's saying there. Salvation of your soul. Deliverance of the stress you're under. Deliverance of the stress of the circumstance. Trials and the test of our faith is stressful. It is stressful. But it's, once again, it's the grace of God moving with the Holy Ghost of God, then bringing forth in this circumstance, in this scenario, the reality of the love of God and the love Christ has for us, that we begin to rejoice in the midst of the trial and rejoice in our salvation, rejoice in our God, and it's joy unspeakable and full of glory is the terminology Peter uses here, because it's something that is beyond natural. Something that is beyond usual. It's when God is making us that peculiar people. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. A glory to the King. And so we see it, that unspeakable joy is not something that I just make up in my mind and rehearse it over and over and over. I've got joy, I got joy, I got joy, I got joy. No, that's not what it is. I realize there's a lot of movement out there. They say that, you know, if you'll just say it long enough, you'll have it. No. It's the grace of God coming on the scene, and it's me responding to the grace of my God. Hallelujah. And that's what it is. And that's where the joy will come from. That's where it will all begin to happen. And even in the midst of the trial or the calamity or the stressful situation. Praise God. Because once again, it's a matter of me receiving that grace. And what's that grace going to do? It's going to remind me. It's going to talk to me. It's going to remind me of what God has done in the past, what God has done for others. I mean, it's just going to keep reminding me and renewing me until I come forth rejoicing in my God. Because He's my God, and He is for me. He's not against me. Ephesians 3 and 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise God. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now this is talking about that access we have to the throne room. This is talking about the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. The things Christ has done for us that we haven't even tapped into yet. That we haven't even reached forth into yet. That grace is still bringing our way. Hallelujah. That grace is still waiting in the wings for that moment of time. Hallelujah. That we're going to need that riches of Christ, that truth of Christ, that work of Christ. And of course, the main emphasis here is the fact that we have access into the throne room through Jesus Christ. And we can have, there's confidence. There's that word confidence again. Confidence in our God that He's going to hear our cry, hear our prayer, because He's already prepared great things for those who love Him and are looking for His appearing. And so no matter where we're at, what we're going through, there is an unsearchable rich. There is an unsearchable gift. There is an unsearchable thing or truth we've never laid a hold of yet. It's called growth. Spiritual growth. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. It's God come once again. It's grace coming on the scene. And the Bible calls it an unsearchable riches because we can't come up with anything that's going to stump God. There's no circumstance of life that God doesn't have the perfect answer for. Can I say that again? There's no circumstance of life that God doesn't have the perfect answer for. That grace doesn't have what I need. Woo, hallelujah. See, it's a matter, am I going to position myself in the right mind frame, the right attitude, where I can receive the grace of God for the need. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. It's the unsearchable riches. In other words, don't ever think God can't help you. Don't ever think God doesn't have an answer for your question. Don't ever think that God has left you or forsaken you. He hasn't. He won't. He's already promised He won't. See, that's part of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to the King. You have access. Can I say that again? You have access. You will not be denied. You just have to ask, believe, and then hear what He's got to say. That's what we mean when we say receive. You got to ask, believe, and receive. Well, the only way you're going to receive from God outside of that, that peace of God is the grace of God speaking the Word of God. He has an answer for every circumstance and situation if you're ready to hear it. Praise God. It's the unsearchable riches. See, that's you've got to believe God knows better than you do. You would think nobody would ever think they know better than God. There's lots of folks that think they know better than God. That's why they're still bound up in sin. They think they know better than God. If they would just listen to God and humble their hearts, they'd be delivered from their sin. Well, and they'd be walking in new life. The unsearchable riches. Ephesians chapter 3, further down, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. See, there, He's still talking about that. He's still in that same chapter. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I love this scripture. Paul was praying for the believers. And he was praying that they would be strengthened with the might of Almighty God. According to the riches of His glory. In other words, they're vast. No limit. But specifically be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. There's no more dimensions. That covers it all. Everything you need. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The unknowable love. You'll never tap it out. You'll never run it dry. Because the love of Christ is another one of those things of grace that passeth knowledge, that you can never figure out, that you can never outthink. That's why it takes faith. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Rooted and grounded in love, knowing that He loves me. Has He not spoke that in this house multitudes of times? He loves us with an everlasting love. It's never going to stop. It's never going to run out. Paul said in other portions of Scripture, what and who, how can anything separate me from the love of Christ? Nada. No. Nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see then we've got to be strengthened. This is why we need the manifestations of the Holy Ghost of God. We need the revealing of the presence of a holy God. We need the Spirit of God strengthened. And notice what it says. With might. Not just a blessing. Not just feeling good about myself. No, no, with might, which brings forth a determination. There's that determination that we've sung about. There's that might of the Spirit of God that brings a boldness about my walk with God. And a boldness to say no to the enemy. And that might in the inner man is what's going to enable me to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, everything about the kingdom of God is grace. The grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching, talking, changing, rearranging. Woo, praise God. I mean, all this is a representation and a revealing of how much God loves us. Hallelujah. Because He wants to bring us into that place that is going to bring that ultimate love and joy and peace and sustain us. And we enjoy our Christianity. Jesus put it like this, that your joy may be full. I realize there's circumstances, there's situations that come towards our lives. And of course, I realize from just what I preach here tonight, they come to make us strong. They come to encourage our hearts. They come to show us our weaknesses. And then they come to show us the strength we can have. Praise God, as we move with the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Has always astounded me how people want to move with the grace of God after they make mistakes. And not realizing nor understanding, and hopefully tonight's message will help, moving with the grace of God so the mistake never happens. That's the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a relationship with grace. That's a relationship with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Just because the Holy Ghost moves on you doesn't mean he's pleased with you. It means he's trying to help you. A lot of people have always misunderstood the moving of the Holy Ghost. Men have always tried to say, well, if you're not living right, the Holy Ghost is not going to move on you. And I shake my head. How'd you ever get saved? There's no way you can tell me the Holy Ghost don't move on you when you're not living right. Because I was lost and undone and the Holy Ghost was moving on me. That's how he got me right with God. How do you think he's going to get you right with God now? He's going to move on you. He's going to let you know he's here. He's going to let you know the power that's available. And then he's going to speak the message. Grace is going to move on the scene. And then he'll just wait and see if you respond to that grace with victory. What does that mean, Brother Pepper? That means you hear what he says and you do it. If he says get away from it, you get away from it. If he says quit it, you quit it. If he says there's a better way, you seek out the better way. Because there's always an answer for your dilemma. There's always an answer. The biggest problem we get into is when we try to create our own answer to our own dilemma. And it makes us go farther and farther the wrong direction. Because there is a right answer for our dilemmas. Praise the Lord. Could I have a piano player tonight? The uns of grace. The message will always come. The peace will be there because God's for us. He's not against us. He will bring us to a place of joy as we respond to that grace. And that the unsearchable riches means the vastness thereof. It's never going to run out. And that love of God, it's always going to astound us. It's always going to astound us. How could God love us so much when we are so unworthy? Praise our God. Glory. Thank you, God. Let's stand together tonight if we could. Father in heaven, Lord, I rejoice in your grace. I rejoice in your word. I rejoice in the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts, to our lives. Lord God, directing our paths, helping us see, Lord God, that there are wonderful ways of the kingdom of God. Father in heaven, I pray that you would encourage your children this night. I pray that this message, Lord God, would prop up, strengthen, enlighten. Help us, O Lord God, respond to your grace as it moves upon our lives. Lord, strengthen your people this night. Prepare us, O God. Lord, prepare us for camp meeting, God, and what you're going to do in camp meeting. What you're going to do in Sunday morning service, and what you're going to do in Sunday night service. Help us, O God, hallelujah, to rejoice, God, in your grace, to rejoice in your love. Praise be your holy name, God. Praise be your holy name. Hallelujah to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Master. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Glory to our God. Let's come around these altars. Let's close with a time of prayer.